Utah's Senator Mike Kennedy is running for U.S. Congress District 3 seat, being vacated by John Curtis. Now, Mike Kennedy ran for U.S. Senate against Mitt Romney. Mike Kennedy won at convention but lost during the primary. Mike Kennedy has served in Utah's House of Representatives for 6 years and the Senate for the past 4 years. Mike Kennedy is on the campaign trail, and he's visiting the Uinta Basin today and yesterday, and we want to welcome him to the studios. Good afternoon. This is Steve Evans with News Talk, 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thank you for making the visit to the Uinta Basin, Mike Kennedy.
It's always great to be back with you and your listeners. Thank you very much.
It is good to have you in studio with us. Thank you for taking the time. What are some of the things that you're learning as you're on the campaign trail?
Boy, the at this point, it's a delegate process because convention comes in about a month, and the delegates are deeply invested. They're very intelligent. They're asking lots of questions about the border and our border security. And with that goes along, a lot of questions along with that go along with legal immigration and how do we improve our legal immigration process. In addition, they're very concerned about the national debt and the fact that we are $34 trillion and counting in debt and the deep concerns we have about our interest payments. But in the Uinta Basin, and we've been working around the county today, visiting with a variety of individuals, there are a great deal of issues with lands, public lands, as well as private lands, the tribal and non-tribal issues, the energy issues, and the war the Biden administration has against fossil fuels. Frankly, the Biden administration has caused so many problems for our country in the past 3.5 years. My number one hope for our country is that Joe Biden not be reelected and that Donald Trump be elected. But beyond that, there are many things for our Congress to work on, and we're working on talking to people about the issues that are on their minds and trying to find the answers that we can find.
Now, if you're elected to represent us in U.S. Congressional District 3, what are some of your main goals when you go in there? What committees would you like to serve on?
I want to serve on financial services. The banking industry is a massive issue in the state of Utah. In addition to that, I'd be happy to serve on public lands and natural resources, which has to do with energy and natural resources. And finally, when it comes to the Hill Air Force Base, that's a vital interest as well that we have. So when it comes to that, I'm interested in that component. But there, I'll tell you, Steve, on my part, is I'd be honored to serve in any capacity. The people are hiring me for a really unique position, and that's to go to Washington, D.C., and as a state legislator for 10 years. I'm one of the few in this race. There are 10 in this race, but I'm one of the few that has actually passed legislation and worked with other people to do it. So in hiring me, you would hire a man with experience, not somebody who's never done this before, to do the tasks that we're being asked to do.
Now, you're with your son, John. With him in mind, what poses more of a threat to future generations, to John's generation? Is it climate change or the growing federal deficit?
Growing federal deficit. Definitely. I think the climate crisis, which we should always be sensitive to how we can take good care of our climate, but our national debt is a critical issue that will result in economic collapse at some point.
We were $4 trillion in debt in 1990. Today, we're just over $34 trillion in debt. Where are we going? We can't sustain this. Logic will tell you that. What is the motive behind this crazy spending?
The national government continues to spend money like a drunken sailor, but at least the drunken sailor has the decency to spend their own money. Goodness sake, this is ridiculous to watch what's happening. And so yeah, our national debt, it's like the federal government has a credit card with no limits, and they continue to spend and buy things that may or may not be of any value to us. People talk about, how much money should we send to Ukraine or Israel? And I say, we don't have any money. We're $34 plus trillion in debt. What are you talking about sending money around? This is our grandchildren's money. So, and that brings us to the omnibus budget bills that they continue to pass, continue resolutions. Congress should get back to regular order. They should make a budget and pass a budget. We should do this in regular order instead of these omnibus bills that we keep using.
Explain an omnibus bill for somebody who might not know what that means.
I will, and as a person who's not a congressman yet, but I intend to win this race. And in that case, Mike Lee, I've been in various meetings where he's explained what's happening. Basically, he calls it the firm. So the firm is, in that case, it's Speaker Johnson, it's the President of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and the President of the United States, and various other leaders of various committees, appropriations committees. And what they do is they generate a deadline, and this last week's omnibus bill that was passed, It was passed just before the Easter break, and that deadline was picked months ago, and it's picked with an intention that this budget bill must pass or you can't go on vacation, Congress. So the timing is always coincidental to some sort of generated emergency the government's going to shut down. In addition to the fact that Senator Lee, at a meeting I was at on Saturday night just a couple days ago, he said quite clearly that a week previous they said they'd release the budget. They didn't release it, the omnibus bill. The next day, is the omnibus bill available? It's not available. And it went on and on until the vote was on Friday. They didn't get it until late Thursday night, early Friday morning. And they were supposed to, the Senate was supposed to vote on it within, it sounds like, within 12 to 18 hours turnaround. Mike Lee pointed out it's a 1,012-page bill. There's no way anybody could read all of that. And as a result of not even being able to read it, how would you understand it? And I'll just say on my part, you give me that kind of systemic flaw of not even giving me a chance to read what I'm supposed to vote on, the answer is no. That's just what I'll have to say. You don't even give me a chance to read it. So they continue to generate these omnibus bills under the pressurized circumstance to force votes on things that most people don't even know what are in there. And it's not regular order, Steve, and it's not acceptable.
You mentioned the budget that was passed, $1.2 trillion. Senator Romney voted for it. Senator Lee voted against it. Your answer?
As far as I can tell, and I wouldn't have had a chance to read it. So, and here's what's interesting, Steve. I'm understanding the House under Speaker Johnson is trying to give regular order and process to this. The demand is 72 hours previous to the vote that you're supposed to have. The House had it better than the Senate in this case. It sounds like they had it like 60 hours or 65 hours before they were supposed to vote on it. That's a little better, but it's still very difficult to consume 1,012 pages of an omnibus bill. So I don't know what was in it. Frankly, I don't know if anybody really knows all that was in it. But when I don't have a chance to read a bill, my vote would be no. And considering I haven't read this bill, I'd say, yeah, as far as I can tell, by process sake alone, not even what's in it, I would have voted no. And it sounds like Congressman Curtis and Congressman Owens both voted no, but Celeste Malloy and Blake Moore both voted yes. So there's a split in the caucus, and I at this point, I'd have to analyze it more in more detail to make that decision.
There's a lot of pork,
right,
in this bill. $130 billion has already been spent on loan debt forgiveness for college students or college graduates. I know there's loan debt forgiveness attached to this bill, so that would include billions more right before the election. What are your thoughts about student debt forgiveness? Should truck drivers here in the Uinta Basin be paying for someone's college education?
That's a great question.
They don't
Steve.
Even know.
Absolutely. So all of the people that didn't go to college, that didn't take out these loans, but are paying the taxes for it, they're all, in that case, I feel the same as they do, is I paid off my student loans and they didn't take out the student loans and we're all paying for these. It's like we're a bunch of suckers that we just end up doing the payments for other people and they're not paying their fair share. And that's one thing the Biden administration constantly talks about, is everybody should pay their fair share. Why is it that these individuals who took these loans out, why shouldn't they pay their fair share? I just think those that go into trades, those that are our truck drivers, and those that have taken out loans like I did to go to medical school and paid off our loans, why is it that we're held to pay the loans for other people who are not going to? That's irresponsible, and it's frankly electioneering and politicking at its worst.
What are your feelings about the weaponization of federal agencies like the IRS, the DOJ, the EPA, the FBI? I mean,
BLM and so on.
Keep going.
Yeah, very concerned. Our taxpayers are paying for individuals to come after us. And in the hiring of 80,000 more IRS agents, I just find that also to be reprehensible. The reality is our federal government is being weaponized against us. We see that even with the lawfare that's going on with Donald Trump, is that there are entities that should be pursuing justice and instead they're pursuing politics at its worst. And I'll just say I'm not going to support.
And they're using the judicial system to punish political opponents.
Law-abiding citizens.
$454 million judgment. It doesn't sit well with the American people.
No, it doesn't. This feels like a banana republic where you incarcerate your opponent. In this case, we are litigating and filing injunctions and affidavits against our opponents. We should let the ballot box decide these things, not judge in these cases.
Are you seeing that many organizations on the environmental left are using the justice system to litigate?
Absolutely, to effectuate their goals of shutting down fossil fuels, which the Uinta Basin, God bless you good people out there, you are powering not only our state, but our country. And in fact, it's very obvious that the energy that is supplied by the Uinta Basin for the Bonanza Power Plant, it's going directly to California, which claims that they're using green energy. And a lot of their energy is actually coming directly out of the Uinta Basin. And I'll just say, for California to fraudulently claim that it's all green energy is statistics at its worst.
Terror attack on Moscow. Are we more vulnerable than we were 4 years ago?
Deep concerns about that. While the FBI and CIA pursue parents who are at school boards during COVID or trying to protest COVID lockdowns, instead of doing their job, which would be securing our border and making sure the terrorists don't come through our porous border, is I have deep concerns that cells of terrorists have come into this country. They've planted themselves. We don't even know when these cancer cells are going to explode and metastasize to create disease for our society. So I say CIA and FBI, if you're going to do your job, do it on pursuing these terrorists, these international terrorists that are coming into our country, not our own citizens.
Should states be able to arrest, detain, and deport migrants at the nation's border? Do you support Governor Abbott?
Texas, I supported Governor Cox sending our National Guard down to help, all hands on deck to help Governor Abbott, and they're pursuing this in the Supreme Court. So the border is a federal responsibility, but if the federal government has negated its responsibility and deferred that off because of what the Biden administration has done, I support Greg Abbott doing everything he can as governor of Texas. And that includes incarceration and deportation. If the federal government's not going to do the job, then the states need to step up. And we see that with Governor Abbott. I'm proud of him for doing that.
U.S. congressional seats are based on population.
That's right.
The maps are driven up by population. With 7.9 million people coming into the United States, would they be potentially counted on the census?
In the census, that is possible, and it's one of the undercurrent strategies that people wonder about with the porous borders. You just get warm bodies in various places, you count them, and political power moves one way and the other. That is entirely inappropriate, but it's one of the strategies that maybe is being utilized by a certain party to move elections in certain directions.
Do you believe that is the motive?
As far as I can tell, there's something about the Biden administration just opening the borders up, and it's not for human trafficking and fentanyl transportation. Everybody finds that to be disgusting, but I have deep concerns that in the census, we're seeing political power move in directions that it wouldn't normally move when these people come in.
Now, the Republican-controlled Congress, Mike Kennedy, is refusing to fund the war effort in Ukraine and Israel until we address the needs at our southern border first. I understand that this $1.2 trillion bill included a lot of border security, a lot of resources for Mayorkas, but that was more for processing them and getting them embedded into the United States, including airplane travel for them to get to where they want them to go. As senator, would you support withholding funds to aid these war efforts until our border is secured?
To be clear, I'm running for Congress, and I believe in the Congress, we should not send any unaccounted money to any country, especially Ukraine. But when it comes to that, we should support freedom-loving countries, especially our friends in Israel. But when it comes to that, priority number one is our border. And whatever we need to do, and I don't think it's just monetary or hiring border agents, we need technology, we need a wall. Every other country in the world seems to have good border protection. It's easier to come across our border than it is for us as law-abiding citizens to get on an airplane in this country, and we need to change that. So, step number one, secure the border. Step number two is consider what we should do, and I'm not an isolationist, but when it comes to Ukraine and Israel, both of them are complicated scenarios, but Israel, fully, I'm supportive of Israel and their efforts. They are truly an existential crisis. When it comes to Ukraine, we may be in a Vietnam-like scenario. We're 2 years into this war, and it doesn't look like it's any different than it was at the beginning. So in sending unaccounted money to Ukraine, I have a deep concern, especially when we don't have that money. Steve, the reality is we're so far in debt. Sending any money to any country around the world is only putting more our children and grandchildren more in debt.
TikTok ban. There was a bill that passed the U.S. Congress to ban TikTok. It's now going to be presented presumably sometime soon to the U.S. Senate. Should the United States Congress jump in and ban TikTok.
Not a fan of TikTok. I think our children's brains are being changed by those kind of modalities. What I understood about that, Steve, to be clear, is that it was forcing the divestment of Chinese Communist Party entities from owning an interest in TikTok. And I'm entirely supportive of forcing Chinese Communist Party's direct intervention in a product that we have in the United States of America that may influence not only our children, but also our elections.
What about control that social media companies are having in the political spectrum?
Deeply concerned.
What can we do about it?
We have already done that on the state legislature. We are controlling social media more than we've ever done before. We've passed bills last session as a state senator. I've signed off on and endorsed and supported bills. The last session and this session that actually force minors to be identified. And if you're a minor, you can't get on these social media websites or your content will be circumscribed. And I think it's entirely appropriate for the states to push back on those entities.
Okay. What can be done on a federal level?
Federal level, free speech, we have to be sensitive to that. I'm a fan of commercial products being able to move. But when it comes to child pornography and other pornographic materials, that as a state, we have perfect, and federally as well, we have perfect rights and obligations to control access of our, especially our children, to that sort of filth. And so we've worked on that in the state, and I believe that there's a role for the federal government there as well.
Should a social media company like Facebook be allowed to censor political speech?
Well, not only political speech, Steve, we saw during COVID, they censored scientific speech. They shut down many during COVID who were promoting alternative treatment patterns that were not compliant with the World Health Organization's mandates or Anthony Fauci's mandates. So constraint of free speech, I have deep concerns about that, particularly government restraint of free speech. That is inappropriate. And the battle for truth is, if there's an untruth, let more truth forward, and ultimately truth will prevail. So the right way to approach that is, when we have untruths, the appropriate response is not restricted speech, it's more speech. More speech ultimately drives us towards the truth.
Mike Kennedy, any parting thoughts as we close this discussion down?
Steve, it's always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. And I'll just say I love the Uinta Basin. I've been here 4 times already since this campaign has started, and I'll continue to be here. I, as a congressional candidate, believe the Wasatch Back is as important as the Wasatch Front. You people are amazing people. There's more sense in your circumstances and your minds and your homes than there is in all of Washington, D.C., and I think people like you should be running this process. And I just want you to know I'd serve you well if the people of the Uinta Basin and CD3 are willing to hire me. So I'm Mike Kennedy. I'm running for Congress. We'd love to earn the support of your listeners, and please be in touch if you have any questions.
How would we get in touch with you? Where would we learn more about you?
Thank you for asking that. It's MikeKennedyForUtah.com. That's MikeKennedyForUtah.com.
MikeKennedyForUtah.com. All right, Mike Kennedy, thank you for making the trip to the Uinta Basin today.
Thanks, brother. It's a pleasure.
This is Steve Evans on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVL. Keep it here. We'll be airing more political interviews as we move closer to the election. Thank you for joining us.